This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Important subject, we're talking sex. And the book is Sexy Brain by today's guest, Devaki Berkson. I'm going to get it right one of these days.
David, just call me Lindsay. That's fine. Just call me Lindsay. That's why I go with Lindsay more these days. Because yeah. The other day someone called me Devour and Devicky. I said, just call me Lindsay.
Okay. There is real science on the subject of the health benefits of sexuality. And you've really summarized it beautifully in your book. So we're talking about things that are downers on sexuality. And there's something really interesting in the book. You know, as I sped read the book, because I got a draft of it just before the show, you have a chapter entitled The Condom Conundrum. Who'd have thunk? Tell us about that.
I would have no idea that I would write a chapter on this, but the science clearly shows that some of the benefits of sex are from freely the vagina, which acts as a sponge, absorbing almost like a paleo low-carb multivitamin mineral, the semen. You could call it a paleo-friendly multivitamin mineral. So a lot of benefits.
Can't get this yet at a health food store. It's not available over the counter, right?
No, and not freeze-dried either. Right. But it's a conundrum because not everyone's able to be in a relationship where they can, you know, if they're just dating someone, you don't know how safe that person is, et cetera. So I go into
safe
discussing
sex and all that.
Right. And I discuss the conundrum about it. And what really blew me away was the science took me to a place where it supported monogamy, because you get so many benefits when you can be with someone that you know you can be safe with and not have to use a condom with. And it also even supported really great benefits when you look up to that person and respect that person and you have regular satisfying sex with that person. So in many ways, the benefits are upped when you are in a long-term monogamous relationship. And some of the benefits from some of the science suggested that if you have sex with friends with benefits or by yourself because you love the one you're with and you're not in a relationship, the benefits aren't as strong. And they've decided a lot of this based on functional MRIs where they can look right into the brain. Mm-hmm. And you really can't fool a functional MRI. So they could compare when people faked an orgasm, when they didn't. So I put all of this in the book, and it was pretty interesting to see where nature wants us, at least I think as humans. This is what I've concluded, and I didn't realize I'd come to this conclusion before I started writing this book and diving into this sea of scientific literature, that nature longs for us to be connected and in a stable relationship. And I don't have any judgment on any other combination and permutations. I'm just the reporter of the science. So,
It's a wholesome message. It could have been issued by Pope Francis in the Vatican. You know, right? That's what it comes down to. It's the ancient verities get validated by science. Okay, so let's talk about oxytocin, because you mentioned oxytocin earlier, and oxytocin seems to be a critical chemical. It's actually being used therapeutically for treatment of autism, for treatment of certain pain syndromes. It seems to be a panacea for certain health problems.
Oxytocin is quite extraordinary. I gave a talk on it about a year and a half ago in Vegas at PCCA, which is the compounding pharmacy institution that now runs a lot of functional medicine courses. And it was one of the more excitement. There was a lot of excitement generated by giving that course. And I wrote an article in the Townsend letter for Jonathan Collins on it. I've been using it in practice for about 9 years therapeutically for some of the things you said and for some other things, but it's classically been thought of as a pregnancy hormone. Mm-hmm. it lets down milk, it lets down, you know, the whole process of pregnancy, but we pulse it out moment to moment all through our adult life. And as I said, hormones deliver their signals to these satellite dishes called receptors, which are proteins in that shape. And you have oxytocin receptors pretty much globally in your body. And one of the ways, in fact, I mentioned this in my new book, Nutritional Gastroenterology is the title. Oxytocin is one of the main hormones in the vagus nerve. And it creates parasympathetic, the calming signals, in opposition to our wired, tired, stress-dominant sympathetic nervous system.
And it's released by hugging, and it's released especially by orgasm. But even just, you know, skin-to-skin touch, or like a mother nursing, it generates oxytocin in the mom and in the baby mutually, right?
It does. And we all make oxytocin, but women make it more when we make love, which is why you could tell a woman, listen, you're not my match made in heaven, but, you know, we're hanging out. We're just hanging out. So I just want you to know, this isn't a long-term thing. You could tell her that. But when you make love with her, her brain makes her bond to you because her oxytocin makes her do it. It's the bonding hormone. Mm-hmm. But it gives you lots of benefits. When you meditate, everyone now, there's consensus that meditation is healthy for us. And one of the ways meditation works is it releases more oxytocin. Mm. So now we give oxytocin clinically as a nasal spray because it goes right into the brain and then it gets disseminated through the rest of the body. So I tell my patients when we talk about giving it to them, I say, think of it as meditation up your nose.
Mm-hmm. I have some patients with headaches who get better with oxytocin. It seems to help chronic daily tension headaches for some patients. It also acts as sort of a relaxant, and it may help to promote deeper sleep, I'm seeing.
So many benefits, but what's interesting is all hormones are vulnerable to endocrine disruption. Mm. And oxytocin is the same. And oxytocin is being disrupted by the chemical soup that we live in, that we can't shop smart enough to get out of. So in the book, because all these hormones are so essential for true health on a body, mind, spirit level, and our receptors, many of them are clogged with these pollutants that assault our ability of our hormones to work healthfully. I give my 10-day sex hormone receptor detox that I take a lot of patients through that's based on old-time firemen detox research, because firemen go into the most toxic environment ever by a burning building, and they would get cognitive issues and health issues, and they had to come up with very effective detox mechanisms that got them back on the job quickly. And I went through that literature years ago and started honing in some really great detox programs, and I now work with people, young people with libido issues, hormone issues, etc. So while I'm helping to balance people's hormones, I'm also helping clean out their receptors so that they can receive the healthy hormone signal. And I put that 10-day receptor detox in the book. And I have a website, sexybrainsystem.com, where I give a lot of free gifts and I talk about detox and give all kinds of stuff for people if they're interested in hearing more about this.
And that's the website?
It's called sexybrainsystem.com. Somebody else had sexy brain already, so I couldn't get it, so I put sexy brain system.
Okay. And then, you know, you are a yoga adept. You've taught yoga. You've done yoga for so many years. I personally, belatedly, have started yoga, and I feel enormous benefits, even though I'm just doing it for a few months. I wish I'd started 30 years ago. But clearly, yoga may have benefits in terms of promoting better energy flow, better flexibility, and is there any evidence that it promotes improved sexual response?
I don't know about that evidence, but most everybody says after a yoga class they feel so relaxed. Mm-hmm. And the more I have chapters that discuss how to get out of your head and into yourself and into each other, and exact steps of how you find, based on an anatomical research at the University of Florida and things, how you find the G-spot exactly and what's going on. So I wrote this book like a intimacy manual that a parent with a real clean conscience and could gift to their adult child embarking on a serious relationship or marriage to help them know how to keep their love to make love stay and make their family life stable. And part of being a great lover, so I go through all the steps of really understanding how to be a great lover, and one of them is to be able to be present with yourself so that you could then be present with someone else. And yoga, of course, is one way to do that. In fact, I think the chapter is called Connection, How to Get Out of Your Head and Into Each Other. But I really go through exact steps. And part of what I give in this book, and I didn't know I was going to do this either, was when I was a scholar at Tulane, I was so gifted to go shoulder to shoulder to scientists who had made estrogen and testosterone their whole career. And there was one gent there that I got introduced to. His name is Michael Baker from the University of California in San Diego. And he has studied for years how did estrogen and testosterone signal for hundreds of thousands of years on the planet. And it's very fascinating, the story of estrogen and testosterone, how they first started on this planet. And then I take that up into the molecules, the receptors, into your relationship, into talking with each other, into the bedroom, into sex. I translate how we're hardwired for hundreds of thousands of years. And if you get the differences at the atomic level, then you can have greater chance for success and less stress in relationship in the bedroom. And I call that the hormone language of love. And so that's in the book too, based on my gig as a hormone scholar at Tulane.
Let's talk about pheromones, because pheromones are part of our sexual signaling system. And in paleo sex, I guess there wasn't antiperspirants. There weren't microbiocidal agents that kill all our skin bacteria, which it turns out are not good for us anyway. So what happens when we bollocks up our pheromone signaling system?
That's a great, apparently pheromones, which are like the subliminal scent to get, you know, really juicy about another person. And great intimacy is somewhat juicy at times, right? And great life. I mean, why do you eat great food? Why do you want health? So you can have a live out loud, juicy life at times when it's appropriate and sane and healthy. So pheromones are this, men release a lot of them out of their armpits, and women, when they have enough estrogen in their bodies, are very sensitive to them. But as women wane in hormones, they become less sensitive to them. Women give off pheromones and men are sensitive to those. But as women age and have less hormones, as men age and have more fat and more insulin resistance and make less hormones, then they make less. And that's why there have been suggestions in the literature that hormone replacement somewhat reverses that natural pathway mm-hmm. of making less hormones and making less pheromones and being less responsive to pheromones. And I've noticed that women and men who are on hormone replacement and have individualized programs and are taking them for a while have more enduring, robust sex lives and seem to act and talk about their sex lives as though their pheromones are still much more robust mm-hmm. than those not on them.
Yeah, an interesting study, and I don't know if it made it into your book before you had to close the galleys because it just came out, but it was a study, an amazing study, which suggests that men who follow a, quote, healthy diet, and it was something like Mediterranean diet, you know, not standard American diet, exude pheromones that are more attractive to women. And what they did is they took female volunteers, they gathered sweat from the underarms of men on various diets, and then they had women do a sniff test on these little, you know, samples. And the women, you know, it sounds like a wine tasting. You know, it's like, well, I detect a note of oregano here and a slight undertone of chocolate. But they ended up selecting the men who were on a healthier diet as being more attractive. So I get big incentive, guys. You know, get on a healthy diet and it's going to make you sexier, or at least
diet has
smell
so
healthier.
Much to do. That's exactly right. I mean, it turns Harvard came out a few years ago and was the first one to name the microbiome, which are your teeming microbial life that live inside your gut and that are supposed to help take care of your health, for the right to live inside of you. And it's made of bacteria and fungus and viruses, and it can be several pounds of this stuff inside you. It has receptors for hormone signals too. And when we start making hormones in our teenage years, our microbiome, according to Harvard researchers, is genderized. Have you heard of this, Ron?
No.
It's genderized, and it crosstalks with your hormones to make them work better. And that's why some people can sometimes go to a doctor and they get their hormones tested to say your hormones are fine, you don't need hormones, or you're on hormone replacement and you bring it to a level and you're fine, but you don't feel fine. Mm-hmm. And part of that's because there are these sub levels at which hormones need other things to make them work. And I go into all of that in the book. And one of them is a healthy crosstalk with your microbiome. So the Harvard researchers renamed this aspect of this teeming microbial life deep inside of us, and they called it the microgenderome.
Wow, that's a really fascinating insight. We know that women are very prey in terms of GI symptoms to fluctuations in their hormonal cycle. They really notice it. Men, you know, obviously to a lesser extent, because we don't, you know, our hormones kind of bounce around a little bit, but not in a cyclical fashion like women. Women often have GI symptoms that are very tied into their estrogen, progesterone fluctuations. That's for sure.
Right. And I go into that in the book, the differences between male and female. And it seems like today we want someone to be gorgeous in and out of a little black dress and or shorts, or the guy in a tuxedo or jeans, and we want them to make a ton of money, to do all this stuff. We want them to just be totally perfect and really almost be the other opposite sex as well. Women want men to be empathetic and like their girlfriend, but be manly like their man guy. I mean, it's like you want this person to be the world to you, and that's not how a great coming together is successful. Part of it is recognizing how the other person is hardwired for hundreds of thousands of years in their atoms and their hormones. And then that makes you not have expectations that are really not realistic. They're Hollywood.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So I go into that in the book, too, so that, you know, the whole idea is to benefit from connection that nature intended and be able to have some tools in your tool bag to pull it off better, from hormones all the way to having better psycho-spiritual understanding of each other. And so that's how this book unfolded in that way. And
let's talk a little bit about hormone replacement therapy, because you have written about this in the past, and it's very relevant to issues relating to intimacy. Hormone replacement for men and women. There's been some controversy about testosterone for men. A lot of doctors are fearful about giving it. They think it may increase heart disease risk. But that's been debunked, hasn't it, according to recent studies?
It's been very debunked. In fact, I have a whole entire chapter around the controversies of testosterone. Because to really have a great sex life for years to come, like nature intended, most of us are not going to don't leave home without your hormone replacement, like it used to be the American Express card commercial. I mean, I would not want to be aging. Of course, I lost all those organs that make hormones. So, but I had breast cancer 24 years ago, and most doctors would never give me hormones.
Right.
And I've been on them for 18 years now.
Yep.
And I would not be who I am writing this 21st book without being on hormones, or have the passion and the juice and the, you know, people go, oh my God, you feel like you're like 25, 30 years younger than you are. Well, a lot of that's from hormones and hormone health.
Hormones are motivational. It's very clear that hormones actually lead us to seek reward and to get up in the morning and do what we have to do.
That is exactly right. As old people age and their hippocampus, which is the center, the physical analogy of your soul, and it's this where you really live, and it starts to shrink because it's fed totally by hormones. It's just filled with receptors for hormones. And as you make less when you age, that shrinks, and you lay in bed and you worry, and you think you want to do 5, 10, 15 things, and you can hardly get anything done. That's all because your hormones, your internet has just completely frozen. But you can reboot it. And one of my favorite studies, I love McGill University, and the Department of Psychiatry won this very coveted award, Kurt Richter Award, in 2008, where they could measure the volume of the hippocampus, which is where your motivation and your mojo and your memories live. And they could show that in older people who are frail and slumping around, and, you know, you just really get a lot more intimidated by life. They had it's called hippocampal shrinkage. And if they gave shots of estrogen to women and shots of estrogen to males, they could show within 5 weeks, they could re-volumize, kind of like that Goldie Hawn thing of her sitting in the chair in the First Wives Club in front of Carl Reiner, getting her lips blown up, fill them up.
Yeah.
They filled the hippocampus, and then people started to act. They stood taller. They got more stuff done. I mean, it's nature's forgiving, and you could revolumize the hippocampus with hormones. And when that gets rebooted, then you start eyeing the gardener cleaning out your pool and having more of a social life and then feeling like being friskier even though you're in your 80s and 90s. And we reboot intimacy and desire and connection even in people you would think are done, closed up shop. It isn't true. And then their whole lives are changed and their families are changed.
So let's talk a little bit about DHEA, because you mentioned DHEA is maybe a kind of a unisex version of testosterone. Testosterone available by prescription. You have to have a doctor to provide it. I generally suggest that DHEA be administered under some kind of medical or health professional supervision, but it is available over the counter. Can it be valuable here?
I love the way you say DHEA is unisex. I've never heard someone say that before. That is very interesting. I'm going to plagiarize that. Thank you very much, which is a high form of flattery, right?
It's not trademarked. Don't worry about it.
No, I love the way you put things. So DHEA has Fabry from France is considered the father of DHEA, and he has done some amazing research on it. I could talk for 3-4 hours on DHEA, but it does produce in local tissues. So endocrinology is the production of hormones from a gland that swims through your body and sends signals with that little zinc finger into the gene and the receptor. But you also have something called intracrinology, which is where hormones are made in local tissues. And there's not much known about it yet. But DHEA is made a lot intracrinologically in local tissues where it's needed because it can be a parent compound. It can birth either testosterone, a son, or estrogen, a girl. And it has a lot to do with the joie de vivre and your skin being shiny. And so it can be used, but it can go the wrong way. Yep. So you need to work with a practitioner who understands its bigger picture and what dosage and how and if it is a good candidate for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I totally agree. Okay, great. This is, I really love the way you think because you bring a truly holistic perspective to this subject, with your background in yoga and your background in nutrition, but also a very rigorous scientific background. And the book is a perfect synthesis on a subject that, frankly, gets short shrift because, we talk a lot about the vitamins we take. We talk a lot about the diets that we need to follow and, maybe even, there's a million exercise books. But there's not enough books that intelligently touch upon this kind of delicate subject, which is sex. The book is Sexy Brain.
I've lectured for at PCCA with this gynecologist out of Tennessee. He's a very cool dude. His name is Jack Monaco, and he wrote an advanced praise for the book. And he was saying that some of the other books that come out of the hormone low T, low E centers. They're talking about lingerie and candles and this and that. But this is really a book that's looking at the science and how to really be successful to make love stay. And why did nature want you to have pleasure way beyond having babies? Because we do make love after babies. And if you aren't able to do sex, there's ways you can do it without sex because there's a swath of intimacy. And I go into the nutrients that are involved in having better sex. What nutrients help you have better libido, help you men lose their zinc when they give to the woman zinc in the semen. And I go through each different step of that and the sex hormone detox because most of our receptors are clogged and affected by the toxic soup. So even if you did a lot of things, you might not get the response you want unless you did some house cleaning. So it's kind of a one-stop shopping intimacy book. And you could go to sexybrainsystem.com and get some free gifts on good and bad things to do in detox and take a look at the book and kind of roam around in that little site. But I feel really good because I didn't know that my hormone deception, my book on endocrine disruption, and then my book on the gut that I had for years that widely published, Healthy Digestion the Natural Way, and then my book on hormones, Safe Hormones, they all converged in the bedroom. And it was all that science that could be then available to you, the person listening, to know that you're supposed to have connection within your life and within yourself. And there's steps that you can take and benefits from it, but you need balanced hormones, and they depend on a healthy gut, and they depend on very specific nutrients. So it's all put together. And the funniest thing of all is the chapter on the G-spot. I have to laugh.
And that's you provide a roadmap to this elusive concept, which some people even, you know, it's controversial because some people even doubt if there's an anatomical G-spot. But according to, you know, the best sexual researchers, there's more to it than what we think. And there's a geography that you need to familiarize yourself with if you're going to have optimal sexual performance. So good stuff.
Some of the gynecologists call it a gynecologic UFO, but right. There is exact ways to know how to do it. And that does, you know, the better lover you are, which does not have anything to do with looks, the healthier your relationship and the deeper and more connected you can get with each other, and your kids benefit and everyone who knows you benefits. So it's good to know where how to put on your mukluks and trek that terrain.
Absolutely. Like you just said. So thank you so much for joining us. Once again, the website is sexybrainsystem.com. And the book is Sexy Brain, and it's available at all the usual places. Lindsay Bergson, it's a pleasure. Congratulations on your wonderful career and your contributions in this field. And we'll look to some of your additional books, and I'm very interested in your work in inflammatory bowel disease. Maybe we'll bring you back to have a discussion on that subject.
Oh, I would love that, and I would love to chat with you sometime about what you've learned, because it's always great to learn from each other. That's what it's all about, is sharing and lifting us all up to have a better life, if possible, in the face of a lot of turmoil happening today. So it's indeed great to have this time with you that's so rich and deep and not tumultuous at all.
Except for those New York City sirens in the background. Thanks very much.
Oh, I love that. It reminds me of Mad Men. It's my favorite show.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.